You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
Yes, it is.
Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started,
as
well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
I did it that time. You made it through that time.
I did. What our listeners may not know is for the first time ever in 200 and something episodes, I messed up the intro.
Yep. I threw them off, folks.
Good thing we pressed stop and record again. All right. But today we do have a question from Shane Mitchell. It's a written in question.
Does he have shampoo?
What?
Oh, that's Paul Mitchell, my bad.
What's Paul Mitchell?
It was like, I don't know if they still have it, but in the 90s,
maybe? Oh, it was during your modeling days.
Dude, during the 90s, there was a shampoo that was called Paul Mitchell. It was spectacular.
It's called Head and Shoulders, Pert Plus.
I'm sure it's full of toxins. And.
Oh, yeah. Well, my wife now buys shampoo from Trader Joe's. It's
the like, mint stuff?
Yeah, the mint stuff.
No, that burns, man.
Oh, well.
Does it burn you?
No, I like it. Except like my 3-year-old always cries.
Exactly, because it burns.
But he's now used to it. It's just peppermint. It's good for you, right. I think. I don't know. Today's question is from Shane Mitchell. And
not
here
Paul.
It is. No. It's written in. Have you ever heard of a church plant having two separate gathering spaces to reach their communities in different ways? That's the question. I love your face. I do.
Are you going to play the question?
No, it's a written in question.
Oh, I should pay attention. I got an idea. It's brand new. Hold on to your hats and your seat.
I'm so excited.
One church, multiple locations.
Okay, I love that.
You like that?
I do.
Just came up with it right now.
We should.
Right here.
We should write about that. We should do a course on new churches about that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I think that is every other church's tagline when they go multi-site.
Yeah, it is.
I do think that there's something interesting to be learned from the multi-site model here in that many times a church will go multi-site to reach a different segment or population, part of the population with a new venue. So the music may be different.
Yeah,
language may be different.
But typically churches that do go multi-site, they're saying this is the
multi-site.
No, well, I mean they say, no, this is what worked here. We have a lot of people who live in that area of the city.
Yeah.
We're just gonna do what we're doing here over there to reach those people for Christ because increase serving.
Right.
Allow them to invite their neighbors. But it's typically, it's the same model or same style.
I would be interested in knowing like what two segments he's looking at here.
Yeah.
Maybe it's hairstylists and then, everybody else. I'm not sure. I can remember when I was a student pastor, one of the parents coming up to me and wanting me to have a separate experience for like Christian kids. Because we were reaching so many lost kids.
Oh.
And they were like, my kid keeps hearing curse words and this and that. And I'm like, well, that's because we're reaching lost kids.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Can we baptize more people?
Yeah, that's a good problem to have. So in that sense, when you're looking at this question that Shane submitted, it is interesting because oftentimes that's what churches will do and they'll go multi-site because of that. But the question really is, have you ever heard of a church plant having two separate gathering spaces? So it's still the same church, maybe younger because it's a church plant, but just doing things completely differently in both spaces. And at that, I say, listen to some of our podcasts that we've talked about centralization, decentralization, decision rights. Right? We'll try to get all these in the show notes as well. But I'd love for us to camp out
on
that.
I would really love to be able to talk to Paul about this because I don't know exactly where he's coming from.
Paul, the shampoo guy?
Oh.
Or Shane?
Shane. Sorry, Shane. Your Uncle Paul, I knew him really well back in the day.
Yeah, but let's talk about that, the idea of where do you draw the line? right? Where do you draw the line in terms of, well, hey, we are still going to be one church?
It's a stewardship issue for me.
Versus be another church.
Like, you know, is from a mission standpoint, is this so tied in that you can't do, I mean, can you not reach both audiences in the same venue at the same time? Is it a size issue or a space issue? Is this because there's two different populations that you're trying to reach in the same community? Or is this completely different communities? The way it's worded, I almost feel like it's the same place, same community. We have maybe a tighter group of people. Mm. So, man, context would help a lot here.
What I wouldn't recommend Shane to do is for him to be the leader of both and to lead them in a different way. Because I think that'd be way too difficult for a single person to figure out how to do, unless you're like a Jekyll and Hyde, right? And you're like, hey, this is my cowboy church crowd, right? And this is my hipster crowd. I don't think one person can deal in both.
We're in Nashville, bro. That's the same thing.
And all the wannabes.
Yeah.
Posers. Yeah, all the posers, right? So in light of that, I mean, just for example, on our 5LQ podcast that we host together,
yeah,
we interviewed Clay Scroggins, right? Lead yes. pastor of North Point Community Church, right? The one that Andy Stanley's at.
Alpharetta.
Right, in Alpharetta. But what's interesting is we were just down in Atlanta doing some work with Passion City Church, who's also right. in Atlanta, and we drove by Buckhead Church.
Exactly.
Right, and Buckhead Community Church is North Point. It's part of North Point Ministries, but their church is not called North Point Community Church Buckhead Campus.
Right.
It's Buckhead Community Church. And then you got North Point Community Church. And you have all these community churches.
Because, why, Daniel?
Why? Because they want to actually name their church after their community and have it be contextual there. Now, Andy Stanley, North Point, they do video. Right. Yeah. They do have some live preaching, but they do video. Right. And then you got some other churches down the road that say, no, all of our churches are going to be the same, just with different campus names, but they're going to have the church's name. Right. And then those churches might do video, but then they might actually do live preaching. But if you look at all of these instances, they're all led by a different leader. They all have a face there, you know, the face of the place. Right. So, I mean, I wouldn't recommend Shane trying to lead in a different way at both locations.
No, he could lead. I think he could lead at both locations as long as they're not too different. And I would encourage him to lead in such a manner that they would be, you'd be able to combine those two later. Mm. Again, I have no idea the context. So I really, Shane, if you want to leave another message.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
We'll take another crack at this
and do a little follow-up.
It's been good. I think it's been hopefully informative for people that are looking for new shampoo products or...
Or how to grunt.
Or how to grunt.
So in light of that, then as we wrap this question and bring it to an end here, just think about this church. I mean, I love it, Shane, how you ask the question and you want to reach different communities. Right. And as you're reaching different communities, I think this comes back to one of our earlier episodes where we talked about discipleship pathway and leadership pipeline.
Yep, yep.
Right? It's the idea of, hey, you need to disciple people at both locations, but you need to be raising up, you need to be equipping the saints for the work of ministry. And when it comes to leadership at different locations, you got some churches defining that based off of, hey, this is who the leader is, right? You got some people saying, hey, this is who the demographic is. But if you're going to be the same church, you really need to be sure on the values of your church. Right? Because those values are the things that are going to allow you to scale. Those values become the metric, become the litmus test or the compass, not even the compass, the legend that every one of your leaders reference back to as they figure out how to make decisions. So how do you actually come up with that legend there, Todd? And then we'll kind of rip on this a little bit and finish off the podcast.
Well, I mean, you know, what we're really talking about is culture. Mm, yeah. As you just mentioned, values, and culture is really about values and shared behavior. So one of the things that is most important to embedding culture is story and yeah. shared story. And so it's really almost the myths and legends. It's the lore that people talk about in the hallway of – remember when our church did this or this member of our church did that. You want to be sure that you have some of those key stories that are repeatable. This also helps, by the way, when we're talking about competency, because sometimes it's difficult to tell people what a competency is and for them to understand it. Whereas a lot of times they can really learn that better or capture that better in the context of a story. So yeah, to say,
that's true.
Hey, you know what? At our church, people matter to God and us.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the, we reference the not, you know, leaving the 99 and going after the one. Well, that's great. What does that actually look like? Can you tell me what that's been in the life of our church, how that's been exhibited? I think those are great ways to do that.
Yeah. So Shane, if you're wanting to move this way, be sure to identify your values, right? Be sure to identify your values, because when it comes to ministry philosophy, when it comes to making decisions, when it comes to all that, it's so easy to find people that agree with you if you're vague, right? But the clearer you get, the more focused you do values audits. And I actually have a values audit in my book, No Silver Bullets. But I mean, when it comes to those values, there are four different types of values. Lencioni talks about this in his book, The Advantage, as well. Core values, permission to play values, aspirational values, accidental values. And what is that? How does that actually relate to your discipleship pathway, your leadership pipeline, the strategy of your church? It's all connected right there. But be sure to think through that and wrestle through that before you take your next step.
I'm looking on Amazon right now, and Paul Mitchell is still around. Who knew? We'll have to link to that in the show notes.
No.
You're not going to link to it?
Okay, we'll link to that. Shampoo?
Yeah, and conditioner, bro. Multiple kinds. One of them is, this is for you, you Trader Joe and fool, tea tree lavender mint moisturizing shampoo.
All right, and at that, we will catch you next time.